I got some water here. Who wants some water? Yeah? Nice, cool H2O. Huh? So who wants a drink? You always need water. Keith wants water. No, Dustin wants water. Great. All right, man. Drink it quietly. All right, who else wants water? Good. I'm not going to throw it back to you. Pass that back to Phyllis. Trevor, you want some water? Good. Andrew? Water's good. H2O. You know, I was thinking, everybody in the teaching team has this movie-related stuff. So I was thinking, okay, well, how can I come up with that? We're going to talk about Jesus giving us water so we never thirst again. And I thought, there's a movie out that talks about a guy who gives out homogenized, pasteurized, filtered H2O. Anybody know what movie I'm talking about? What was that? Water Boy. Who else wants water? Andrew, I'm going to throw it to you. All right. Anybody else? I'm going to keep one for myself. You know, I was thinking, Water Boy's correct. We have our own Water Boy, our own Bobby Boucher. Bobby Maddox, where is he? Hey, Bobby. Let's all give Bobby a hand. I don't know if you know this, but the water we drink here is filtered H2O. He filters every drop, and it's delicious. This is also filtered. Just pay a little extra for it. You can turn to John 7. We're following Jesus at the Feast of the Tabernacle. And I just want to give you a little bit of data on water. I looked it up in the Encyclopedia online, and there's a lot of information about water. They say if you and I are in a desert about 110 degrees, we can last about 2 days without water. There's been a few cases where people have survived up to 8 days. There was an airline crashed a small, I don't think there was any passengers, but the crew themselves were able to last 8 days without water. There was a case in Alaska where someone lasted 12 days without water, which is really a long time. They say the average person that can go without water is about 7 days. What is interesting, just this past week, did you hear about the teenager in Haiti? How long did she go without water? 15 days without water and food. A miracle that God spared her life. Water is a necessity of life. Many skeptics feel that this doesn't happen, but the longest recorded person that went without water, anybody know who that is? Not Jesus. Moses. Now they say Jesus went without food for 40 days, but you can read this in Exodus 34. Moses went without food and water for 40 days and 40 nights. You know why he survived? Anybody? He was with God in the mountain on Mount Sinai. God provided sustaining life for him during that time. But normally, you're not going to make it without water. Water is crucial. 97% of the water that we have here on earth is salt water you can't drink. Now, they say they're working on trying to work that out. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. Don't drink salt water. 3% of the water that we can drink on earth is only fresh water. It's amazing. And they're already predicting that oil will not be the key substance that the world needs. Water will be something that will be devastating to this world, the lack of it. We're already seeing that in California to Colorado. They're fighting over water rights. Water is essential. And Jesus, in his infinite way, picks up on this necessity of life and really hammers home a marvelous principle. So let's turn to this passage. I want to just read it first for you, and we're going to give you a little background of what's going on, as some of the other guys did. John 7, starting in verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. We've got this 8-day feast, and the guys, George and Scott and Tim and Steve, kind of gave us some update of what's going on. I want to just build a little bit upon those things and talk about this last day. But during this Feast of the Tabernacles, which, by the way, was just right after the Day of Atonement, but this feast was a time of celebration, and they had sacrifices going on. Here's what they did on the very first day of the feast. They took 13 young bulls, 2 rams, 14 young lambs, and 1 goat, and sacrificed it to the Lord. Then they took a bowl of water and poured it over the altar. The next day, they took 12 bulls, 2 rams, 14 young lambs, 14 rams, 14 young lambs, and 1 goat. And then they kept going down. Every day they lowered the lambs, kept the rams, they lowered the bulls, kept the rams the same, the young lambs were the same, and the goat, 1 goat. They did that all the way to the 7th day. So when they got to there, it was 7 bulls sacrificed, 2 rams, 14 young lambs, and 1 goat. If you added that all up, it's 70 bulls that they sacrificed that first 7 days, which tradition tells us that that was as unto the nations of the world. Again, as Scott was sharing with us, Israel was supposed to be a nation that brought glory to God, that let the world know who God was. They kind of failed in that most of their lives. But here was a celebration to tell the world that there is a God. Then this last day, this 8th day, they sacrificed 1 bull, 1 ram, 7 lambs, and 1 goat. And really, and what the Jewish people did, they made this a special day for them. We're looking for the nations and telling them about God, but this is our day. And this was special. And it was so special that they would blow the trumpets and they'd have this big parade and they'd go down to the pool of Siloam, take a golden pitcher, take this water up, and they would come marching through, celebrating all the wonderful things that God has done. Tradition tells us, and I think it could be right, that when they came and poured the water over the altar, it was at this point that Jesus stood up and cried with a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me." Jesus was a master of the moment. And I can believe this. The scripture doesn't talk about that, but I could believe that Jesus took that opportunity to the fullest. Now, let me just share with you, when he cries out, "If anyone is thirsty," our good friend James Strong writes in his concordance, "Thirst, besides the obvious of being thirsty," he writes this in a figurative way. "Those who are said to thirst, who painfully feel their want and eagerly long for those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened." That's the idea of thirst. You are longing for it. You are just painfully feeling that emptiness so that your soul can be refreshed, supported, and strengthened. That is thirsty, my friend. And Jesus understands not only our thirst physically, which can run out quickly. This was a time, as George set up about with the tents that they had, of a time to remember the wilderness experience and God's provision for 40 years. If you remember, through that wilderness experience, there was a few times that God used water to again get their attention. It wasn't, you know, a week went by that they were out of water when they crossed the Red Sea. Not an accident. God was teaching them to trust, and they failed. They complained, and God made water, provided that anyway. There was a time when they began to complain again. And Moses, so tired of it, went to God. And God told him, take your rod and smoke the rock once. And he did. And water came gushing out. Again, God providing for their physical needs, which he does so well. Then there was a time where they complained again because they had no water. This time, Moses was a little frustrated. He was told what to do. God told him, speak to the rock. But in his frustration, you remember what he did? What? He hit the rock twice out of frustration. And you know what that cost him? The promised land. God judged him for that because he was not obedient. So water plays a powerful role as a picture for us in the Old Testament of refreshment for the body and the soul. And as we look through the chapters that John wrote to us from 6 and 7 and on, most people didn't get what Jesus was after. They wanted the bread he could give. Chapter 4 of John is this wonderful story at the woman at the well. And Jesus was telling her, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks from this well, this water, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to, and we don't have this in John 7, everlasting life. That's the kind of water Jesus wants to give. But sadly, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to come here to draw water. She didn't get it. He wasn't talking about physical water, although God wants to provide things that are physical for us. There's something far more important that Jesus is addressing. If you remember, if you want to go back with me to Isaiah 55, during our Advent and Christmas time, we talked about Isaiah 55. And Ryan started out with this, and he says, Isaiah, through the Lord, is saying this, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. There's a call to God to come and get something that you can't provide for yourself. Water, a necessity. But the neat thing about what God wants to do, not only give us what's necessary, but when we come to God, we get far more than that. We get milk. We get wine. And Jesus wants people to understand what he has for you and I. So as we go back to John now, Jesus cries out in verse 37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. We have to realize what Jesus is talking about here. And this is a wonderful portion in the scripture where God explains it. He doesn't explain it to the woman at the well. She's in a fog. But he explains it here through the scriptures. This water, whoever believes in me, verse 38, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Then he explains what this is, what this water is. By this he meant the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified yet. We're talking about Pentecost. The Holy Spirit will be given to those who, this is how we receive the water of everlasting life, by faith. It's a gift from God, and we need to receive it by faith. Jesus wants us to understand that. Now, I'm gonna need some help here. I think Dan said he would help. Would you do that? And maybe, Dan, you could handle this yourself. If you could bring those two pans of water. I have a little protection here for the communion table. I want to just illustrate kind of the picture that Jesus is saying. Yep, you got one more to go. Couple pictures here. This was too heavy to carry up in one shot, so I divided it. Now here's what Jesus wants to understand. He's saying there's water that is beyond something I ingest physically. And what we try to do in life is we try to fill our lives with something other than Jesus. And we pour it in there, and you know what? It doesn't last. And you know, I was thinking about this. The world, without Jesus, it's impossible for them. They try to fill things like money, power, fame, importance, sex, drugs. It doesn't last. You and I can't fill our soul with that. You know, there's some other things we as Christians should know better for those things, but there's still things that we try to fill our life with other than Jesus. You can think of other things. I thought of relationships. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? If you're depending on relationships to fill your life, it's going to fail. Marriage, children, it doesn't hold water. It's empty. I remember hearing a woman say, "I live for my children." Now, children are a wonderful blessing. But if you live for your children, eventually you're going to be empty. As a matter of fact, the children grew up and moved away. And she had nothing that she was putting all of her hope in. And I'm not sure what her and her husband had as that relationship. I knew this person. I've been over their house. They didn't have a real loving relationship. She put all of her life in her kids. Children are wonderful, but it is not lasting. We need to learn that. We can't, in this life, and here's what we're guilty of. We try to put jobs, our vocation, we try to think of anything with our identity that makes us feel good, and it doesn't last. And Jesus is saying, you need to understand, I am life. John 10:10 says this, "I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly." There's a psalm that says this, Psalm 107. What a wonderful, wonderful verse. I'm going to read you a few verses in 107. It says this, "Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men, for He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." Jesus wants us to know that only He can satisfy. And you see, the way He does that is the Holy Spirit, when we believe by faith, comes into our lives and fills us. And then when we realize that He is our substance, when He fills us with life, He makes it special. It retains because He is life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And he can fill us to overflowing, that we're so full, we can then share with others who God is. It's a great message for us to remember today as a reminder for those of us who are believers. I don't know what you're filling your life with. I know at times I try to fill my life with something else than Jesus. It doesn't work. It will not work. And, you know, if you could picture it this way, the more I try to fill my life with something other than Christ, the further away I get, the more empty I become. And Jesus is saying here in this passage, on the last day of the feast, understand this. I am life. You can only be filled with me. The scriptures go to say things like this. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Jesus wants to fill our souls with him. And I'll say this as an invitation that we love to do here. If you don't have Christ in your life at all, there's a call today. Come. Come to the water that's eternal, that will fill you with life itself. That's faith in Jesus Christ. But today, if you and I as a Christian aren't living with the aspect that it's Christ who fills all in all, then you will be empty. And if you continually try to fill it with something else other than Jesus, it won't work. I remember hearing Joe Foch on the radio, pastor of Calvary Chapel, was sharing this story where he had a young man in his church who was saying, I'm tired of God, I'm out of here, I'm walking away. And here's what Joe said to him. You find something better than Jesus, you come back and tell me, because I want to come too. But Joe knew there's nothing better than Jesus. Do you and I think that way? We got to practice that. We got to let our minds be transformed by the renewing of the Word. Only Jesus satisfies. Let me read you this great old hymn that was written out of Psalm 107. It says this, all my life long I had panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Poor I was and sought for riches, something that would satisfy, but the dust I gathered round me only mocked my soul's deep cry. Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. And the chorus breaks in, hallelujah, I have found him, whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood I now am saved. Dear brother and sister in Christ, this is a reminder from Jesus that he and he alone satisfies. In our small group this week, we're doing the book of Acts, and we read chapter 3. And there was such a phrase that popped out to all of us. It talks about Peter talking to the crowd, how they killed Jesus. You killed the author of life. And it made so much sense to me. If Jesus is the one who created us all, why would I think I could find life anywhere else? But we do. And it's a call today to come back to the one who fills us and satisfies us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the heart of Jesus, who stands and cries out, whoever is thirsty, come to me. Lord, I would ask that my own heart and every heart of my brother and sister here would cry back to you, Lord, give us this water. Thank you that we have this potential in the Holy Spirit. Help us not to quench you, Lord. Help us to allow you to fill us so that we overflow with the water of life, so that we will be satisfied and be able to give this water to others. In the name of Jesus, amen.